Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Medino.
If you have your Bibles with me this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And if it's your first time this morning, we would love to get to know you. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. The title of my message this morning is, What Happened to the Glory of God? What happened to the glory of God? 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. And when you find it, please say an amen. Amen. Don't be shy about saying amen. It's something good. It's you're agreeing with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it reads, Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory has departed from Israel. Because the ark of God had been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. Let me give you a little recap of what happened in verse 21 and 22. When you read in 1 Samuel chapter 4, Israel goes to war with the Philistines. And when you read verse 4, you will find out that Israel was defeated by the Philistines. Now you got to remember, Israel, let's put it in a very simple and clear way. Israel wasn't right with God at this time. They were not fully devoted to God. They had other idols, worshiping or going after other idols instead of the true, real God, the living God. So they go out to war and they think that they can get away. You know, we'll just go out to war. And their thinking was, we have the Ark of the Covenant. Right now I'm going to explain to you what is the Ark of the Covenant. So they're thinking, since we have the Ark of the Covenant, surely we will win. We will have victory. But they realize very quick that it doesn't work that way. And the Bible says in verse 4 that they were defeated and 4,000 Israelites were killed by the Philistines. Think about that. In desperation, Israel, as I mentioned, they thought, you know, we'll bring the Ark of the Covenant to the battle. And, you know, it's there, the covenant, the Ark. We're going to have victory. But how many know that God is God? God is for real. He's legit. But they saw the Ark of the Covenant like something magical. or something like a, I'll say like a lucky charm. You know, we got the Ark of the Covenant, you know, we're good. We're good. But how many know that it's not about the object? It's not about the Ark of the Covenant, but it's all about for who God is. Hear me what I'm saying. They were trusting, or they had faith in the object. The Ark of the Covenant. They trusted in what it symbolized, but not in God. So the Bible says, because of sin, Israel lost the Ark of the Covenant. And when you read in chapter 4, what happens is that the Philistines, they go and take the Ark of the Covenant. Church, may you and I be careful not to lose who God is, His presence. Hear me what I'm saying. And not only that, were they defeated, you're going to see that Eli the priest had two sons, but they were doing their own thing. They were living in sin. And the Bible says, when you read 1 Samuel chapter 4, both of them lose their lives. Are you with me? They are killed. Ophni and Phinehas. Both of them were killed. Then, not only that, when his father, the priest, Eli, hears the news, that is, they come and tell him, your sons have been killed, they died. The Bible says that he got like an attack, and he was a heavy man. And the Bible says he went back, hit his back of his neck, and he died because of the news. So in other words, what am I saying is that things are not looking good for Israel. Can I just tell you, church, that the moment you go off track of following God, Jesus, things don't get better. Things begin to go sideways. And it's there where Phinehas' wife, one of the sons, Eli's sons, who had died, his wife, as we just read in verse 21 and 22, the Bible says that she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel because the Ark of God had been captured and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the Ark of God has been captured." And that's what she named her child, Ichabod. The glory has departed. What is the glory? Or let me say this. Right now in your spiritual life, your walk with God, or your family, or even the church, is there an Ichabod in your life right now, or is there an Emmanuel? Emmanuel means God with us. Ichabod means that the glory has departed. So you got to ask yourself, what do you want in your life? Do you want, what's there, Ichabod or Emmanuel? I don't know about you, but I want Emmanuel all over my life, all over my marriage, all over my children, all over my family, all over the church, the leadership. I want Emmanuel, God with us. The Ark of the Covenant, this is what it represents. The presence, the manifestation presence of God. It represents His guidance. It represents power, majesty, the favor of God, and the covenant relationship of God with His people. So number one, are you ready? I said, are you ready? Because even if you're not, I'm going. So don't ever replace your relationship, church, with religion. Let me say this. The church does not save you. The preacher doesn't save you. Your title in the church, your ministry doesn't save you. Leadership doesn't save you. Yes, it is important to come to the house of God. It is important to come and hear the word, the solid word of God. Being faithful to the church doesn't save you. What saves you is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the Savior. I said, Jesus is the Savior. He forgives your sins and He saves you. So it's not religion. Hear me, it's not performance. Yes, you ought to be the best. You should be the best follower of Christ. You should live for Jesus. You should please God. You should have reverence and honor for God. If you serve in the house of God, yes, you ought to do the best you can to love on people, to respect people, to learn how to forgive. But it's not about religion. It's about having a relationship with God. Let me give you an example so you can understand me. Carrying a Bible, and that's very good. How many here have Bibles? Amen. Carrying a Bible with you, or you bring it to the house, or you have it in your vehicle. It's good to have. I was going to say it, but I'll say it. If you have a Bible here, you have a Bible at home, all that is good. But what good is it if you don't read it and you don't live it? Come on, church. Let's be real. You want it raw or you want it? Come on. Praise God for the Bibles. Praise God for the Word of God. Praise God for a phone, an iPad that you can download the Bible. All that is good, but it's even better and more powerful when we read it and we live it. Give the Lord a clap offering. Coming to church is a blessing. I know nowadays people tell you, you don't have to go to church. And then they get very spiritual. We are the church. We don't need to go to church. But us here in this church, we believe that it is important to congregate in a church. Amen. Why? Because we gather together as one body, one bride. We come together and we praise, we worship together. And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of you. So we do believe in coming together. But coming to church is not enough. Coming to church is that I come to church, and when I leave this place, I need to leave different. I gotta let God do the work in me. To change me, to transform me. Amen? Again, don't let religion beat you. See, that's what religion tells you. Just go to church. Now, let me say something very clear here. It doesn't matter. Hear me. You're here this morning and you're struggling with sin. Or you're struggling with something in your life. Or maybe you don't like church. But let me encourage you and let me help you. Keep coming to church. Keep coming to the house of God. Your wife ain't going to change you. Your uncle, your grandpa, your grandma ain't going to change you. The preacher ain't going to change you. The one that's going to change you is the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. The more you hear the word, the more God begins to minister to you. So keep coming. And strive. Say, Lord, I'm here this morning. I'm struggling in this area. Or I don't want to be here. But change me, my God. Touch me. Do the work in me. And watch what God does. So, it's all about relationship. Having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk with him. And everything you do, do it in faith. Walk with Jesus. And the more you get to know him, the more you go deeper with him, the more you're going to see that God begins to do something in your life. God will begin to change your thinking. God will begin to change your heart. God will begin to do marvelous things in your life, because that's what it's all about, church. It's all about knowing that I have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And if I fail or if I sin, Jesus, the blood of Jesus, forgives me of my sins. And he restores me and he picks me up and we move forward. Number two. I don't know if you're going to handle this. Tell your neighbor, can you handle it? Sin. Let me say something. We all like about the restoration, the forgiveness. You know why we all like it? Because after you sin, you're for it. But let's talk about sin. Sin will push away his presence. Remember I mentioned Eli's sons, they were corrupt. And you know what's sad about them? Because they died. And in the Bible, in Genesis, you'll see that Adam and Eve, they died, but they died what? They died first what? Spiritually. Be careful, church. Anytime you continue in sin and you don't repent, you will begin to die spiritually. Don't play with sin. I said, don't play with sin. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. And sin will always cost you more than what you want to pay. Are you here, church? That's what happened with Eli's sons. no repentance. They continue in sin. And look how far sin took them. To the moment where they died. Now, I'm not here to try to scare you that you're going to die. But if something would happen, you better get right and be right with God. Your heart better be right with the Lord. I said, I'm not here to scare anybody, church. I'm just telling you that the Bible says that his sons died because why? They were playing with sin. They continue in sin. Tell your neighbor, don't play with sin. Come on, tell him. He can't say it or what? Hey, let me put it real simple. When you don't feel his presence, when you don't feel his power, you don't feel his love, you don't feel his touch, it's not just for any reason. There's a reason why. I said there is a reason why. There might be pride. There might be some compromising. There might be anger. And there might be even disobedience in your life. But church, we want God's power and presence and glory over your life. Man, everybody wants the presence of God. But at the same time, they want to cling or hold on to God. And nowadays, you don't got, if you just watch, you don't got too many preachers that preach on sin. It's quiet. You got to ask yourself, I wonder why. Sin will push away his presence, his glory. And a lot of things, church, a lot of things happen when you're living in sin. That's why things don't come out right. Things don't go right. Things just, you know, you had one plan and it changes. And one of the things, church, is we mix it up, sin with religion. Because Christians, hear me what I'm going to say. Christians are the best to perform Christianity. I said Christians are the best to perform. How to preach. How to sing. But even not only sin, even give a class. Whatever you do in church. But here it is. But if you are for real with God, if you are sincere and you are real, deep inside, you know that there's no power. There's no anointing. There's no, yes, there might be, but you know that. You know what? This is not of God. What happened to the glory? What happened to the glory? Now I'm going to help you a little bit. How to get your way back to the glory. If you go with me, if you'll please put 1 Samuel chapter 7. Give the Lord a clap offering. You guys are too stiff. You have it, 1 Samuel chapter 7. Let's read verse 2. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath Jearim a long time. Look what it says. It was there. How long? 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. For 20 years there was no what? No presence and no glory of God. Can you imagine yourself? Hear me, church, this morning. You say that you're a believer in Christ. You love Jesus. But you're dry as a beef jerky. Tell your neighbor you smell like beef jerky. Get it? Come on, get your act together. You know how terrible that is, that feeling, church? You're dry. There's no glory. There's no presence. Yes, you listen to the preaching this morning. Yes, you might even lift up your hands. Maybe you say, thank you, Lord, praise God. But I'm talking about when the flow of the Holy Spirit, it hits you. When you just know that God is in control of your life. You know that you're walking in the perfect will of God. You know that everything, even though you're facing challenges, difficulties, but everything is falling in line. Hallelujah. You know that all things work for the good for those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't complain, but you give Christ glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. May the Lord help us, church. Seek his face now. Don't wait for the perfect word. Don't wait for a perfect preacher. Don't wait for a perfect worship song. Don't wait for a perfect day. Don't wait for things to get better at your house and your family. No, the time is now that you seek the presence and the face of God and you will repent before the Lord and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you and wash your sins away. He will purify you. He will cleanse you and he will lift you up. See, that's relationship when you seek his face. Seeking God's face, it's not only when things are well. Did you hear what I said? Seeking God's face is not when everything, when you see the blessings of God. When everything is well. Everything is flowing. Everything is right in your marriage. There's income, there's money, there's food, there's dress. I mean, you're prospering. I'm talking about seeking his face even when it's hard, even when you don't know what to do, even when you're tired, even when you're in a challenge. Maybe you're in a challenge right now. Maybe you're struggling with temptation. Whatever it is, church, this is the time now that you seek the presence of the Almighty God. But see, religion is just seeking his hand. Oh, Lord, bless me. Okay, you see, some of you might come this morning and say, all right, Lord, I came to church. Now bless me. Bless me. Give me the job. Give me the raise. Give me the car. Give me the house. Come on, Jesus, I came to church this Sunday. You're just seeking his hand. But when you seek his face, you don't give up. I said you don't give up. When you seek his face, hallelujah. Even when things aren't right, you're still here praising and worshiping Jesus, hallelujah. You clap, you say praise God, hallelujah, amen. The Lord is good. Things are working out for the better, hallelujah. Why? Because you're seeking the presence and the face of God. Oh, you seek his face, church. And I'm not telling you how to seek it. I want you to get that. I'm not telling you to do it at what time, what day. Just seek. Go straight to his presence. Examine your heart. Examine your heart. Be real with the Lord. Where am I lacking? What's happening? Do an inventory of your heart. Do an inventory of your life. Why is my marriage going wacko? No, don't say your husband or your wife is wacko. I said the marriage. You gotta do an inventory. Because it's real easy, church. It's real easy. We do the blame game. We blame him, we blame her, we blame this, we blame... When in reality, church, you got to examine yourself. And the Bible says, look at verse 3. Here it is. Verse 3. How do we go back? Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord... See, you got to return to the Lord, church. I said you got to return to the Lord. I know you might say, Pastor, I'm in church right now. That's great. That's a blessing. But the Bible says, return to the Lord. Return to Jesus. He says, return to the Lord with what? A little bit? No, it says with all your hearts. With everything, church, come back to the Lord. Don't let people have to be pushing you and begging you. No, let it come out of you. You come back to God. I said, you come back to God with all your heart, with everything you got. Come back. And see, the moment you do that, when you come back to the Lord with all your heart, guess what happens? You start removing things out of your life. I saw a video, a young lady, a Christian. She says three things that I started doing since I came to the Lord, and I'm serving God with everything. She says, number one, I don't know if you can handle it. Number one, I put away worldly music, secular music. Because worldly music doesn't edify me. All the words they use and all that stuff, number one. Number two, she says, I removed of going to the places where I used to party with the friends. No more nightclubs. Come on, church. No more going crazy on top of three speakers. And thirdly, she says, I stopped sleeping with my boyfriend. No more sex. When you're following God, you return to the Lord with all your heart. The Bible says here, they started what? Putting away foreign gods. See, first you come to God with all your heart. Then the Lord, the Holy Spirit, his power will begin to nudge you and tell you, hey, you got to clean up your house. You got to start removing this and this and this from your life. And it says, then put away the foreign gods and the asteroids from among you. And he says, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only. Serve him only. Let me tell you, church. I'm going to tell you. God is a jealous God. He is like you. If you're married, it's only your wife and you're the only husband for her. Quit trying to be that playboy, that bank daddy. Those days are over. It's only one. You ain't going to like it. Yeah, it's cool. You know, you're mine, but it's all right. I'll share you with two more. No, it doesn't work that way. God, it says, the Bible says, and serve him only. See, some of you are trying to serve two, three, four different type of gods. And we have it all twisted. I need to serve the God of the money. I need money. I need money. I need money. So there you are. Working and doing whatever you got to do. Because you got to make money, 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 money. When you ought to be serving God
who is the owner of all the money and the silver and the gold. No. Your other God is the gym. Got to go to the gym. Got to get sexy. Got to look cute. And that's cool. But don't let that take the place of God. Let me give you some advice, my brother and sister. Look cute and handsome and beautiful and sexy spiritually. What good is it? Big chest, big thighs, big biceps, and you're nasty. Well, I'm going to go to the women right now, so chill. But imagine you look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're beautiful. The love of Jesus. People want to be around you. The presence of God is there. Hallelujah. I was going to go towards a woman, but there's too many ladies this morning. I'll be respectful. So. He says, and serve him only. And check this out. He says, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. Think about that. God can deliver you of anything, church. But you got to come back to him with all your heart. He'll deliver you of anything. Name whatever it is. Whatever that seems impossible. Whatever is a struggle. Whatever, you're battling. God can deliver. I said God can deliver you. He's a deliverer. God will deliver you. God can set you free. And to finish off, thank God that under the new covenant, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, Jesus is the glory of God. John chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus is the glory of God. Returning to dwell among us now. Under the new covenant, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his glory dwells in us. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So once again, church, it's about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God wants to invade your house. And what I mean by that is your life. But he wants to invade the inside. Remember this, church. The outside, your house might look beautiful from head to toe. But what counts the most is the inside of the house. It's the inside. The outside, every man can see it. But the inside, God knows what's really going on in there. He'll go all the way to your basement. You got a basement. You know what I'm talking about. It's rare. Nobody goes there. But you know what's going on there. So it's not about the outside. It's what's really happening on the inside. But let me say this. Because the inside could look, hear me, church, empty on the inside. But once Jesus invades it, all the lights go on. Hallelujah. The furniture is in order. everything begins to be in order. And some of us, maybe you're here this morning, you need some arrangements. The inside of your heart, your life. Maybe you got to move the sofa a little bit this way. The table coffee over here. Let the Holy Spirit do the work in you, church, this morning. Come on, church. Don't just, I want the church, NGC, for it to be a church that walks in the Spirit, a church that still believes in holiness, that it's not just about performance, it's not just about religion. And I'm not talking about church because there's nothing wrong, I'm all for it, to look nice on the outside, to wear your Sunday best, or how do you dress, you do your hair, your whatever, all that is good and it's important. Better put some makeup. Praise the Lord. Amen. But that it would match the inside. The inside. The one that gets renewed every day. We renew, our spirit gets renewed every day by the power of the Word of God. The outside, this flesh, it's fading, church. I'm sorry, men and ladies, it's going to fade. I know you don't like to hear it, but eat more veggies. I'll advise you that or something. Please stand. I'm going to stop right here. Give the Lord a praise this morning. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.